You're listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality. Join us as we look at Jesus the Revolutionary in the Gospel of Luke.
All right, open up your Bibles. Are we rolling on the GB? Okay. Perfect. Mark, come up here. All right. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. This is going to be the last week in 12, so we can all be really excited. Next week is lucky number 13. And next week, you don't want to miss next week. You want to know why? Let me tell you why. Chris Mears is going to be talking next week. I'm really excited for him. I'll be here. I'm going to be here. You better believe I'm going to be here. I'll be here. Chris just said, you know, I really want to talk about that. And I was like, sweet. I'm all about that. So he's talking, and I'm excited, and so you don't want to miss it. So Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. All right? So we're going to look at it in chunks, and I'm going to hustle through this. But if you're following along in the notes, the outline thing, the point of this chunk of Jesus' teaching is that his disciples would be ready. Readiness is the key. Because, you know, how many of you guys like to procrastinate? Anybody?
Oh, right here.
Yeah, procrastinating is almost as fun as not doing anything. So we procrastinate and such, and Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. So let's look at verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. All right. So this is Jesus talking about men servants and maid servants and readiness and all this stuff. And so if you probably picked up, it's all about readiness. It's all about, you know what? Are you alert? Are you working? Are you doing what you've been told to do? Or are you sitting around getting drunk off your master's wine, eating his food, and basically wearing his clothes? There's an episode of King of Queens, which is a great show. This is in my notes. Doug and Carrie go away on a trip. And Arthur, Carrie's father, he's a little crazy, puts on Doug's IPS, which is like UPS uniform, and sleeps in his bed and spills jambalaya in the bed. It's funny. But he's basically like abusing his authority in the house because he's the only one there. And he's like wasting time and making a mess. And it's funny. You should watch it. But here's the thing. The servants in this story, there's one thing. There's two different kind of sections. Both sections, the servants don't know when the master's going to return. They just don't know. They're unaware. The master says, I'm going away, and I'll be back someday. And so just take care of stuff. And so they're like, all right, we'll do it. And they probably put their hands to the plow and got working and were busy and making it happen. And then all of a sudden, like one day, they're like, man, that master of ours, maybe he's dead. Maybe he's not real. You know, maybe our master never existed. Ooh, and it's all like trippy. So they take it easy. But since the master is going to return someday, the servants need to be diligent. The servants need to be working, all right? And so they don't know when, but they should always be ready, always be doing what they were told to do. And we can't get lazy on Jesus. All right, so when we talk about these servants and stuff, it's not just about, you know, slaves back then doing their thing. But, you know, we have a tendency, like these servants, to not do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And, you know, specifically, our work as Christ followers is to tell other people about him. Our work as Christ followers is to love people and to serve them and to lead them to be Christ followers also. That's our work. That's what God has put us here to do. And we have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do it. But we get lazy. We take the easy way out. We say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Or later, I'll handle that later, you know, when I think the master's going to return. But we don't know when he's going to return. And we might miss a lot of opportunities. Time and time again, we'll miss opportunities because we were not being diligent with our master's will. And how many of you guys, you know, school starting again and homework's coming. How many of you guys have ever not done your homework on time? All right, Jessica, like quick draw McGraw over here. Like she's going to win something. You know, like we've all not done our homework. Probably. I would say, like I did. In college, there were days, I had a professor named Mike Thompson. And he was a great guy, but what? Yeah, the short guy with monkey arms. Yeah, Emily knows him. He's the funniest guy. And if he ever listens to this podcast, he would laugh right now. Mike Thompson, Dr. Mike Thompson, he was like the best teacher in the world. And a lot of people were like, man, I love Thompson classes because he didn't care when you turned your homework in. And there were times when I'd be like 2 or 3 weeks late on assignment or whatever. And that was pushing it for me because I'm like a really anal person when it comes to assignments. I'm like, I got to get it done. I can't sleep. I got to get it done. And so I would try to get stuff done as fast as possible. But my roommate in college, Mr. Ryan Brewer, who was fun. Do you know Ryan? Oh, he's a fun guy. He never did his homework, ever. And so the last week of the semester, he didn't sleep at all. And then I didn't sleep at all because he was up all night doing his Thompson assignments. And so, like, trying to get it done, you know, and like, type. He's like, Jason, what's another word for ministry? I was like, service. Good. Jason, what's the Greek word for this? Shut up. I'm trying to sleep. And, but he didn't do his work and his grades showed it. You know, even though it was late and Thompson didn't care so much, he still didn't do as well as he should have, you know, because Ryan's a smart guy. He should have done it. But he didn't. And, you know, when we come to Jesus and we have all these different things, and God's like, you know what? I want you to talk to this person. Not tomorrow. I want you to talk to him now. I want you to go love that person now. And we say, well, maybe when the opportunity's right. No, now. Because the opportunity in our mind is never going to be right. Like Dan talked this morning how we redefine our sin. You know, and he's like, well, it wasn't devoted to the Lord. It was just plunder. We could take it if we wanted. But we always like, well, it's not like I'm never going to do it, God. So later. God's like, no, do it now. Be diligent now. Because if you step out at this point, then I'm going to give you more to do. And you're going to see God working through you more and more and more as you step out on the first thing. And the more you trust him, the more you'll be given honor. And the more you will be, see him work. And then the second story is interesting because I think this applies to most Christians. Because he's talking to this guy. Peter asks, is this for us or is it for everybody? Because remember, there's still the European soccer crowd around Jesus, like mulling it up. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And so this parable, like all the people around him heard it. And Peter's like, is this thing about servants for us or is it for everybody? And then Jesus goes into this story about a servant who abuses his power, his authority. And so I think Jesus was talking to his Christ followers. He was talking to his disciples and saying, you know what? You have more authority than this crowd. You have more power than this crowd, and you have more of my identity in your life already than this crowd. And so you're in charge. You're leading this thing. And if you abuse that power, if you start like manipulating people or ignoring people or beating them, you know, physically or even in our case, spiritually, or just neglect them altogether, then you will be judged. And we don't like hearing that talk from Jesus because Jesus is our nice sky hippie who came down to earth and, you know, never touched the ground and gave out hugs and gumdrops. But no, Jesus is saying, you know what, if you don't do what I've commanded you to do, you're not going to be happy. You know, there will be a wrath of God, even on the faithful. You know, to whom much is given, much will be expected. It's right in here. We just read it. You know, if God has called you out of darkness, you need to go and get more people out of darkness. This is the readiness thing. If we don't do what God's told, what Jesus is telling us to do, if we are not working and being diligent at the kingdom, at building the kingdom, then we are just as guilty as people who are not at all in the kingdom. We're even more guilty because we know the truth. And we need to be active and building and working at all times. We need to be ready. We can't sit around and say, maybe later I'll get to it. Maybe later I'll love that person. Maybe later I'll tell them about Jesus. No, now. And I have a great time at Cutter and Buck, my golf company that I work for. This is what I do. Cutter and Buck, this is Jason. How may I direct your call? One moment. Cutter and Buck, this is Jason. That's all I do all day. It's fun times. But I get a lot of downtime in the afternoon, and I get to talk to people about Jesus. It's actually, I don't know if you guys know this, but talking to people about Jesus is a lot of fun, especially when they don't know anything. Because I'll tell you what, most people at your schools, even Christian schools, don't know anything about Jesus. They're like, really? Jesus said that? Like this message today? They probably never heard a message on some of this stuff. Like they've never heard, like I was talking to one person, Nicole, at work, who she doesn't know. I was talking to her about circumcision because I was telling her I was speaking that next week. How many of you guys were there when I talked about the big cut up? That was good times. So I was telling her my message. I was practicing on her basically. And I was like, you know, it's not about just like circumcision. It's about obedience. And she's like, really? That's really interesting. I never would have caught that out of the scriptures. I'm like, you know what? There's so much in here. It's a funny book. It's a hilarious book when you think about it. But there's so much in here that if you really look, it'll just blow you away. And you start reading about Jesus, and you'll see, like, he's not just some guy who, like, walked around and, you know, fed people. I mean, he's a guy who called people out and into action. And she was like, oh, that's really cool, you know? And just, like, little opportunities like that. If you miss them, you miss them. But if you catch them, and if you're aware and you're ready for those opportunities, man, it's so cool. And then she comes and asks questions later, and it's the best. It's fun. Talking to people about Jesus is a good time. So I want to challenge you to do that. So be ready, be working. And now here's where Jesus is really fun. We'll look in verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Man, that makes me feel warm. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And, you know, Jesus is painfully honest, and we don't really expect him to say stuff like this because, you know, when we look at our, like, you know, successories of Christian, you know, stuff like the posters with, like, a waterfall, and, like, it's like, God's love is like a waterfall. And we're like, oh, that's so nice. It's refreshing. And you know, it's like Jesus, like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and it's like a heart, like growing, and you're like, oh, that's so precious. And then Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but division. I didn't come to say, you know what? We're all in this together. We're all going to heaven. No, Jesus says, you know what? Some people are going to hate me. And some people are going to hate you. Deal with it. And Jesus is like, I'm going to go die for the sins of the world. For people who hate me, but I'm dying because I'm going to give grace opportunities to them. If they will take it. Even though they killed me, it's for them. But you know what? Not everybody's going to take it. People are going to be divided. And Jesus says he came to purge the earth. How many of you guys know how fire works? Anybody know how fire works? I mean, it burns stuff, right? What else does it do? What else does it do? It burns. It hurts. It cleanses, right? It steals our oxygen. That fire. Yeah. What's that? Neat. Cool. All right. Yeah, but here's the thing about fire, though. Like, how many guys have anything gold? Anybody got any gold? Like, my ring is made out of gold, and it's white gold, and it's turning yellow because I need to get it polished again. But gold, when you mine gold, it doesn't come out in this form, all right? You don't, like, go into a cave and, like, ting, 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 and then a ring. Cool. You know, you got to work at it. And the way that you cleanse fire, you cleanse gold is by burning it. You put it in fire and you boil it. And all the impurities and imperfections in the gold come to the top and you scrape them off. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, I came to purge the earth. I came to cleanse it. And I wish it were already so. I wish it was already being cleansed. But no, first, I got to die. When he says, I'm going through this baptism, he's saying, first, I'm going to have to die. And so Jesus is saying, I am going to bring cleanness and purity. I'm going to have to die, and then people are going to hate you. And we're all like, man, sign me up. Yes. You mean when I come and serve Christ, my family is going to laugh at me? Sign me up. You know, but that's what Jesus is saying. It's like people aren't going to, not everybody's going to be like, yeah, that's for me. And that's fine. But that doesn't mean that we can't tell them anyway. You know, Romans says, how would they have known if they had not heard? And how would they have heard if you did not tell them? We need to be active and working to tell people about Jesus, because there's going to be a day when he is coming back and he will purge the earth once for all. And it's scary talk, and I don't like talking about the end times because I don't know really how it's going to play out. You know, I read Left Behind, and I think I know now because of Left Behind. But Tim LaHaye, Jerry B, they got it down. Oh, tell me about it. Kirk Cameron in all his glory. But, you know, I don't know how it's going to be, but Jesus is saying, be ready because I am coming back. And I will purge the earth. And people are going to not like you because Jesus' work always brings division. It always brings division. People do not always love Jesus. That's why they killed him. They weren't like, Jesus, we love you so much. Oh, man, I love you so much. Yeah, I know you're screaming. It hurts. But I love you. No, they hated him. Jesus, how many of you guys remember when George Bush Jr., the W, said, I'm a uniter, not a divider? You know, Jesus was probably sitting in heaven and was like, yeah, no, that's lame. I just came and said, I'm a divider. I am a divider. We hear stories where Jesus says, I will separate the wheat from the chaff. I will separate the goats from the whatever, the sheep and the goats. Yeah, that's what it is. I was like, goats? What do you separate goats? Goats from other goats? No, sheep. That's right. Sheep and the goats. Anyway, but let's keep going because I'm on light speed here. But, you know, Jesus isn't always like warm, fuzzy Jesus on the flannel graph like this and then move him like, you know, Jesus isn't always that guy. Jesus comes and like ticks people off. All right, verse 54. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. That's funny, like immediately you say it's going to rain and then it's raining. That's how I read it. Anyway, I don't think that's what he means. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right as you are going with your adversary to the magistrate? Try hard to reconcile to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So he's saying, Jesus is talking to people who are, in a couple of days, going to be yelling and screaming like, crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar. That's who Jesus is talking to. And he says, you know what? You can look at the sky. How many of you guys know the saying, red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. You know, we all know that, you know, because we like, you see clouds coming at night and it's like, oh, that's pretty. I don't know what it means. But, you know, like they have like these sayings that help them interpret weather. And like we got Jeff Renner with his mustache and his ugly coat and tie. And he goes up, he's like, well, it's going to be a hot one this week. And he tells stupid jokes. I don't like Jeff Renner, sorry. I love Jeff Renner. But he, you know, like we have people like that telling us what the weather's going to be. They're telling us how it's going to go and like what to expect. And if we need an umbrella that day, and they're like, be sure to bring your umbrella. Har, har, har. Dude, stop. But you know what? Jesus is saying, how come you can read that sign, but you can't read this sign? And he's talking to himself. He's talking about himself. He's saying, look at me. Look what I've done. If you're really going to follow me, you have to interpret the sign. You have to know who I am. And so many people miss it. In that day, they missed it. Today, they're missing it because they don't know who Jesus is. They missed it. And today, you know, we have to seriously look at Jesus. And it's like, who are you? And who are you calling me to be? And how do I take what you said then and interpret it for today? Because readiness involves reading the times. And like I said, I'm not really a big end times guy. Because like, how many guys, I'm going to use a theological term. There's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all this different kind of stuff. I'm a pan-trib. I think, you know, Jesus will pan it all out. It's going to be however God wants it to be. And that was a little joke, sorry. It would have killed in my senior year theology class. Oh, man. They would have totally gotten it. But you know what? Like, I don't know how things are going to go. I don't know what Jesus is going to do. And, you know, Like the church I grew up in, I can guarantee with all the stuff that's been happening in Lebanon and the Middle East, they've had at least like 5 sermons on the end times because that's just how they are. And they always go back to the end times and like they get out their charts and like the Apache helicopter is the locust in Revelation. You're like, what? No, maybe it's an actual giant locust. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. And so, you know, I'm not a big end times guy because nobody really knows. But we do know this, we need to be always ready, always diligent, because God said, Jesus said, there's going to be a day when he will finally purge the earth, and we need to be ready. And the time should remind us of the urgency of the gospel. You know, I think too often we waste time, too often we, you know, to use my mom's favorite expression, piddle fart around. My mom's got all kinds of great expressions. That's one of them. You'll hear more as time goes on. But we need to be diligent. We need to say, you know what? The gospel is important enough that I should give my life to it. Jesus is important enough that I should give my life to him. And I should follow him and do whatever, whenever he wants me to do. And, you know, the time is coming. I don't know when. And I don't know, you know, what the chart says. And, you know, I don't have the statue of the guy in Daniel with the clay feet, and I don't know all this stuff. And read Daniel. People go crazy. You know what I'm talking about, Claire? Yeah. I don't know, but I do know that he's coming. And every generation, I was listening to a sermon today, because I like to be preached at. I don't know why. But I was, you know, every generation since Jesus left has said, Jesus is coming back in this generation. You know, they really have. And they haven't been exactly accurate. Because Jesus hasn't come back yet, right? But one of these days, one of these generations is going to be right. And we need to always be diligent. Yes. That's the question. I know, but that's the question. People say generation is a 40-year period. No. Generation could be a new era, a new age, a new time. And right now, we're in the second generation of time. We're in, you know, history divides AD or BC before Christ and AD Anno Domini, which means year of our Lord. We don't know when a generation is, but anyway, we're going way off. I said I'd stick to my notes. One day we're going to meet the judge, and one day we're going to have to give account about what we've done with our life and if we wasted it. And if we wasted it, God is not Judge Judy. Please please never say that again. If we waste our life, what else do we have? That's right. We have eternity, and there's, you know, up or down. And I don't know what hell's going to be like. It might be fire, might not. I don't know. Maybe it's just really lame. You're banking on it? All right, so stay out. Anyway, but you know what? We need to be ready. And as school is starting, I can't stress it enough. And I want you to hear my heart, because I do not care if we have a huge youth ministry. You know, and a lot of youth pastors would never say anything like that because they feel insecure, and, you know, more kids means I'm doing good. I don't care. What I care is that each and every one of you are pastors to your schools or your workplace or wherever you go throughout the week. That's what I care about. And I want you to go out and talk about Jesus. I want you to go out and do the work of the gospel. The reason that we've been going through Luke has not been just because it's easy to plan what's next. You know, the reason we were going through Luke is so that we understand who Jesus is and what he's called us to do and to be. And so when we talk about these things like readiness and diligence and game time's over, we need to get to work. And as we're going to school, some of you guys are going this week. I'm sorry, terribly. But you're going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to talk about Jesus. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Keep your eyes and ears open to what's going on. Interpret the times, man. You're going to have friends who say, you know, I was watching Oprah the other day, and I just want you to yell out, false prophet, okay? honestly, like, I want you to, like, say, you know what, I Oprah's a nice person and everything, but I think she's wrong. I don't think everybody's going to go to heaven. I want you guys to have that kind of boldness, because that's the truth. And, you know, people go to, like, you know, Cosmo or Oprah or Teen Vogue or whatever to find the truth, or Sports Illustrated, to find the truth. And that is not the truth. You can't go to Dr. Phil and I'm go, you know what you need to do is, he's like, no, I need to turn you off and I need to read my Bible, because that's where I'm going to find truth. All right. That's the truth. And I want you guys to be able to say, you know what? You don't know who Jesus is, and I'd like to talk to you about him. Or you're like, man, Jesus said this, like, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. It's like, yeah. So, like, would you want God to sin against you? Because he's pretty powerful. He pretty creative. Would you want that? I mean, God can't sin, so technically it's impossible. But you get the picture. Sorry. Be ready. Be diligent. Let's pray. God, thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. He came out of heaven and was born and grew up just like us. Went through voice changes, got acne, a whole bunch of crazy stuff, and growth spurts, and one day his pants fit and the next day they didn't. His shoes were working one day and he didn't. And he understands us better than we can ever know. And God, I pray that you would help us to go to him when we don't know what to do, because he's been there. He's been with us. He's been through this. And God, help us to trust him. Help us to trust your son, because he's good. Father, I pray that you would help us just to be diligent with the work that you're giving us. God, help us to be ready and willing to step out to follow you wherever you would take us. In your name, amen. Amen.